This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We welcome you to the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. Today's program is the fourth part of our series, Gospel Matters, a study on the book of Galatians. Please stay with us for Pastor Kramer's message, Stay on His Shoulders.
How does a person have a saving, growing relationship with God? We have a good word for you today on that question from Scripture. Stay with us. We begin in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Good and gracious God, we're grateful for all that you've done for us through your Son, Jesus Christ. And we thank you for the Bible, which brings us words of life and truth. May your Holy Spirit use your word today to enlighten us to your grace and will for our lives. Amen. Our reading for today is taken from Galatians chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Paul writes, "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly exhibited as crucified. The only thing I want to learn from you is this. Did you receive the Spirit by doing the works of the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? Having started with the Holy Spirit, are you now ending with the flesh? Did you experience so much for nothing, if it really was for nothing? Well, then, does God supply you with the Spirit and work miracles among you by your doing the works of the law or by believing what you heard? Just as Abraham believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, so you see, those who believe are the descendants of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, declared the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, 'All the Gentiles shall be blessed in you.' For this reason, those who believe are blessed with Abraham who believed. For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who does not observe and obey all the things written in the book of the law.' Now it's evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the one who is righteous will live by faith. But the law does not rest on faith. On the contrary, whoever does the works of the law will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it's written, 'Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree,' in order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." Dear friends, there's a famous story about a great tightrope walker named Charles Blondin back in the late 1800s. He strung a rope across Niagara Falls, and much to the amazement of everyone gathered there to watch, walked across quite easily. In fact, he even did some tricks. He walked backwards, he stopped in the middle, and with a stool in hand, sat down on this stool, balancing himself, and ate something. But the greatest trick he did that day was he went to the crowd and invited someone to get up on his shoulders, if there was anyone brave enough, and walk across with him. And there was one person who had enough faith in him that did get up on his shoulders, and off they went. Now, suppose that in the middle of that walk, that man on Blondine's shoulders had said to him, "Mr. Blondin, I'm not sure I really trust you anymore. I'm going to get down off your shoulders now and walk the rest of the way on my own." I would imagine that Blondin and the people that were watching would have been screaming at him, "Are you out of your mind? Do you understand how dangerous that is, to your peril, to do this on your own?" We have a bit of that happening today, that sentiment, in our reading that the Apostle Paul has written to these friends of his, the Galatians, new Christians. Paul is saying to them, "Are you out of your mind?" As he says to them with the high emotions, "You foolish Galatians, who's bewitching you? We're hearing this pastoral heart more than a little upset as Paul writes to them. It's breaking his heart because he cares about the spiritual welfare of these congregations. Just by way of reminding you with a little of the background, Paul had led these people to Jesus Christ with the gospel. He had told them about what Jesus had done for them, and that by simply placing their trust in Jesus and Jesus alone, they would be saved. I gave you a little formula if you were listening to the series in the last couple of weeks. Jesus plus nothing, Paul wrote, equals everything. But some other people came after Paul left these congregations and began to teach something else. They taught Jesus plus something equals salvation. And that something, according to these people, was you needed to become Jewish, to get circumcised and to follow the Jewish laws and rituals and dietary rules in order to really be right in God's sight. And Paul, hearing about this, of course, is tearing his hair out as he's hearing that the people in Galatia are actually starting to buy into this and considering having circumcisions and following the rules. And so Paul goes after them, tries to get them back on track, and this is part of his argument that we have in our text for today. He appeals to their personal experience thus far as Christians. He said, "Listen, I preached the crucified Christ to you so clearly, it was like in your mind you could see Jesus hanging on the cross for you, and you were so moved you placed your trust in him, and it changed your lives." Paul must have been very powerful in his preaching and graphic and impassioned. I know that in 1 Thessalonians, as he writes about his preaching, he says, "We came to you with the message and preached it in power and the Holy Spirit and full conviction." And to the Corinthians, he said, "I didn't come with eloquent words of wisdom." He said, "I came blasting you with Christ crucified." Because that's how hearts get awakened and lives get changed, when the gospel of Christ crucified is preached. Now, Paul asked some questions of them. He said, "Okay, I gave you this picture of Christ crucified and it changed your life. Let me ask you, did you receive the Holy Spirit of God through rule keeping or by believing what you heard from me, the gospel?" I'm reminded as I saw this verse that there was a story from Acts chapter 10. Cornelius, an Italian, a Gentile, and his family, upon hearing the gospel of Jesus, had the Holy Spirit fall upon them, and they began to praise God in a strange language, and they believed and were baptized. The Holy Spirit, you see, is the Spirit of the living Christ who comes, moves into a person's heart, sanctifies and transforms us with the good news of Jesus. He brings faith in Christ and righteousness and peace and joy and assurance and confidence in our relationship with God. And Paul says, "Did that come to you by keeping rules or by the gospel?" And then he says, the issue, he says, "Are you so foolish here? Having started out with the Spirit, are you now going to finish the rest of this walk with the flesh, keeping laws and circumcision and counting on yourselves and following all these crazy rules? Did you experience this joy and assurance and peace for nothing? Does God," Paul goes on to say, "presently supply you with the Holy Spirit and work miracles among you by your keeping rules or by believing what you heard about the gospel of Jesus?" Obviously, there were miracles of sorts taking place in these congregations as they heard the gospel. Their lives got changed. The power of the kingdom was on display in people's lives. There had to have been healings and all sorts of amazing things going on. There was a spirit in those places. God was in their midst. And Paul says, "And you're about to do something foolish now. Why would you revert back to do-it-yourself religion in your relationship with God? You're going to lose everything." It still happens today, by the way. I had a young lady in my congregation who recently shared with us that after moving on to college, they got involved with some group, and it was very legalistic. And fortunately, someone shared the gospel with her again. She had an awakening. And she said, I was a legalist, but grace came and changed me back, brought me back to Christ. Or someone said to me not too long ago, as she came in to talk about having her child baptized, I want to prove to God that I'm worthy of getting into heaven. Or I've heard someone say, you know, with my life, I'm just trying to pay God back, or I've got to make the best of my second chance that he's given me in Jesus. I've got to make something of myself. They're getting off the shoulders of Jesus, aren't they? And trying to make the rest of the walk on their own. And Pastor Paul sees that happening with the Galatians, and he reasons with those who are doing that. He says, instead of being so foolish, there's a much better and smarter way to go. It's called faith. And then Paul says, let me show you from the Old Testament that faith is what it's about. The Old Testament backs me up, Paul says. First, let's consider the great granddaddy of them all, of the Jews, Abraham. Now, most likely, these false teachers that were messing with the Galatians' minds must have pointed to Abraham and said, well, you know, our founder, he was circumcised, so if you want to be one of us, you need to get circumcised. Well, Paul turns that on his opponents by pointing to Abraham as a model of faith, the power of faith. In Genesis 15, Paul takes a quote from there, and he says, it was Abraham's faith in God's promises that was reckoned to him as righteousness. He was credited with God's righteousness. He was in a right relationship with God through his faith, not because of circumcision or things he was doing. He was saved by faith in God's promises. And Paul goes on to say, so those who believe in God's promises in Jesus are in good company. They're descendants of the model of faith, Abraham. And Paul then will go on to say, that was all foreseen by God, people being attached to Abraham, when he promised Abraham in Genesis 12 that all the peoples of the world would be blessed in him. Which makes you, Paul says, children of Abraham already through faith in Jesus. No circumcision necessary. No rule keeping necessary. You're saved by faith in Jesus Christ. And then he says, in fact, for those that are trying to sell this whole business of following the rules to get right with God, there's another place in the Old Testament that points out, if you're the one who's going to rely on the law to make you right with God, you're going to be living under a curse the rest of your days and to eternity. You're condemned because you can't keep the rules perfectly. And then he quotes Deuteronomy, cursed is the one who does not observe and obey all the things written in the book of the law. Perfection, you see, is out of reach for the human being. And then Paul goes on to say, but Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. That word redeemed means he bought us back for himself at the cross. His innocent suffering and death bought us as sinners that we might be his own. And Christ became a curse for us, Paul says. He, in other words, took the punishment for us. He suffered the curse we were supposed to suffer as he hung on the cross. He experienced the wrath of God, the judgment of God, as we hear Jesus cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And Paul says, you know, the Old Testament even talked about that. He says, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Now, why did Jesus go through all that? Paul says, in order that in Christ Jesus, the blessings of Abraham might come to you, and people like you might receive the Holy Spirit through faith and be saved through him. Now, Paul will spend the rest of this chapter, which I didn't read for you, telling them that promise from God still stands that he gave to Abraham. And the law, the rule-keeping thing that these Jewish Christians are trying to get you to place your trust in, Those rules are simply to show you your sinfulness and your need for the Savior. And the Savior has arrived, so place your trust in Him alone. I came across a little article talking about the purpose of the law then. He says, on a warm summer night, my wife and I were traveling in our car with Micah, our 3-year-old son, this writer says, who sat in the back seat, and after many miles of driving in the darkness, we came to a stop in a remote area, and the brightness of the traffic light revealed all of the dirt and dead bugs on our windshield. Micah said, look how dirty. My wife and I didn't think much of the comment, he says, until a moment later when we drove on away from the light and back into the darkness. Upon re-entering the darkness, Micah quickly piped up and said, now the glass is clean. Well, you see, before the law came, all the rules, the dirt within us hid under the darkness, but when God gave the law, its light shined on the windshield of our hearts and revealed the filth of sin we'd collected on our journey. The law, then, simply shows us how sinful we really are. It can't cleanse us, it can't make us whole, but it does starkly highlight the true situation of our souls. We're sinners in need of a Savior, and thus leads us to Christ. That's what Paul is getting after here in this. The bottom line is this. Stay on the tightrope walker's shoulders. Going back to that beginning illustration. Stay on the shoulders of Jesus as you move in your life towards the other side of the river. You see, we are not only saved by the gospel, but we are also people that can grow in our spiritual walk by living in the gospel of Christ crucified. You don't leave it behind after you go through the door, so to speak. The gospel not only justifies, it sanctifies us as we hear it and come back to it again and again. And in that gospel, the Holy Spirit comes and reassures us and shapes us and molds us into the image of Jesus. God doesn't move us beyond the gospel. He never intended for us to leave the gospel behind. He moves us more deeply into the gospel because all of the power we need in order to change and mature in Christ comes through the gospel of grace. It not only ignites the Christian life, it's the fuel that keeps us going and growing every day. Real change and maturity cannot come to the Christian apart from the gospel. C.S. Lewis writes in Mere Christianity, we as Christians must go from being confident about our efforts to the state in which we despair of doing anything for ourselves and leave it to God. I know the words leave it to God can be misunderstood. The sense in which a Christian leaves it to God is that he puts all his trust in Christ, trusts that Christ will share with him the perfect human obedience which he carried out from his birth to his crucifixion, that Christ will make us more like himself. In Christian language, he will share his sonship with us. He will make us sons of God. Christ offers us something for nothing. He even offers us everything for nothing. In a sense, the whole Christian life consists in accepting that very remarkable offer from Christ. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, how does one keep going and growing in your walk with God? Keeping your eyes upon the crucified Jesus, who died for you to save you from sin and death and the power of the devil, and who loves you. That's the gospel. For heaven's sake, don't get off the shoulders of Jesus. Don't leave the gospel behind. Stay on those strong shoulders of Jesus Christ as you continue to move towards the other side of the river. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, help us to keep our eyes on Jesus and our hearts trusting in the gospel. In his name we ask this, amen. As you go on your way, may Christ go with you. May he go before you to show you the way, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over, and within you to give you peace. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray today's gospel message has encouraged you to keep your eyes on the crucified Jesus, who loves you and has died to save you from sin, death, and the power of the devil. If you've enjoyed today's message and would like to hear it again, we invite you to visit our website where you'll find both an audio and printed copy of today's message. We also offer other spiritual helps as well as an extensive library of past programs. Visit us today at ChristianCrusaders.org. As a nonprofit ministry, Christian Crusaders is dependent upon the free will gifts of our listening family. Memorial gifts are a meaningful way to remember friends and loved ones on their birthday and other special occasions. We are able to accept donations by credit card. Write us today at Christian Crusaders Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. You can call us toll-free at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Or shoot us an email at cc@naz.org. We thank each of our listeners who have remembered Christian Crusaders with their gifts and their prayers. We are happy you chose to worship with us today and pray you will join us again next Sunday on this station. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Steve Kramer, Senior Pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in Afton, Minnesota, and speaker on Christian Crusaders, now in its 80th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.